Welcome, everybody, to The Basic Gospel, where the lines are open at 1-800-677-9377, and we'd love to hear from you. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, reminding you that if you'll keep listening, you'll hear how The Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day, and how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Christ Jesus. If you have a Bible question, or if you're facing some troublesome issue you'd like to talk through, why, call right now, 1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open at 1-800-677-9377. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's talk about four promises that can change your life. And what I'm talking about are the promises contained within the New Covenant. The writer of Hebrews lists them out in Hebrews chapter 8, powerful, powerful passage. Jeremiah was the first to talk about the new covenant. The writer of Hebrews took the words of the prophet and inserted them into his letter to Hebrews of that day. But these promises apply to us, and they are the best promises that you will ever receive. I mean, the world promises all sorts of things. Friends can promise all sorts of things, and businesses can promise all sorts of things. But none of those promises compare to these promises of the new covenant. And like I said, there's four, and these four can change your life. And they're simply this: I will put my laws in your minds, and I will write them on their hearts. We needed internal change. The new covenant changes us from the inside out. The old covenant had laws written on stones. They tried with every ounce of strength to live up to those righteous requirements, but they didn't have what it took to do it. So they failed miserably, and the same is true for us. We try to be God's guy. We try to live up to whatever standards we think are necessary to truly be righteous in God's sight. But whatever the standard is, we don't measure up. So we need internal change, and that's what happens in this new covenant. We need assurance, and so the new covenant promises this: I will be their God, and they will be my people. That's just a promise. God has declared it to be so through Jesus and in Jesus. So when we come to Christ by faith, we are counted as one of the people of God, and that's never going to change. Once we're in, we're in. That's assurance of salvation. And then we need relationship. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. Back in the old covenant, they had no personal knowledge of God. They just had information about God, and they passed that information on from one generation to the next. No one had personal contact. No one had a personal relationship. But all that's changed in this new covenant. We can know God personally and intimately. And then the fourth promise is forgiveness. God remembers our sins no more, and where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. In this new covenant, we have been promised and guaranteed total and complete forgiveness of sins. Those are four powerful promises. We had Andrew Farley on the program yesterday, and we talked about his book, The Hurt and the Healer, and he was basically saying that all healing for our souls is a result of this grace of God that we experience by faith in Jesus Christ. Well, what is that grace of God? Well, it's spelled out specifically for us in these four promises of the new covenant. This is the grace of God, and this is what brings healing to our souls. And that's why these promises are better than any other promise that you will ever hear or receive.
Absolutely. That's Basic Gospel, friends. That's what you hear daily on this broadcast. We want you to be a part of it. If you have a particularly troublesome Bible passage that I just can't quite understand, if there's some particularly troublesome issue in life that you'd like to talk through, this is a good opportunity. The lines are wide open. Bob Christopher is here. Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. We'd love for you to join us by phone at 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of time on the clock, plenty of time to fully explore your particular question. So give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. Well, Bob and Richard, we talked about this particular issue on the program on Monday, our early program on Monday, but I think it's worth taking a look on this program. This is from Cynthia, who writes to us from Wisconsin, and it concerns the drinking of alcohol. She says, I'm a long-term listener and have heard you state that drinking alcohol in and of itself is not sinful or wrong, but just not to get drunk. Can you further explain what is sinful or wrong about excessive drinking or getting drunk? The second part of the question, how can a Christian best witness to or be an example to people who are heavy drinkers, who may include friends or family members? I feel like they see Christians as having no fun in comparison to their partying, and there is pressure to join them. And the third part, what is your advice for a brand new Christian who may come from a situation like that where most of the people they have associated with are heavy drinkers and not Christians?
Well, certainly the question of alcohol, I think, is a question that many believers wrestle with. Can I drink? Should I drink? Is it wise to drink? How much do I drink when I drink? The Bible has lots to say about alcoholic beverages. It basically says to drink in moderation. That would be kind of the overall wisdom of the Bible. But it does speak about excessive use. Paul writes about that in Ephesians, don't be drunk with wine.
Right.
And he's saying that's a problem. That's a sin. And there are reasons that it's a sin. Why? Because we lose control of our mental faculties. Mm-hmm. We make dumb choices when alcohol is in the mix,
yeah.
When excessive alcohol is in the mix. That's why we have laws for driving under the influence. When you drive under the influence of alcohol, bad things can happen. And many bad things do happen. They may be dubbed as accidental, but the alcohol is what is in control at that particular time. And God doesn't want us to be under the control of substances, things that don't know us. He wants us to be under His control, to be led and guided by the Spirit of God. So that's why excessive drinking is sin. It leads to debauchery. It leads to all kinds of crazy decisions.
Yeah.
I mean, crazy decisions. I mean, families are torn apart because of alcoholic behavior. Relationships are torn apart. All sorts of things can happen as a result. And that misses the mark of love, doesn't it, Richard?
Oh, absolutely. And when you're with people who think they have to drink in order to have fun, what you're seeing is the result of an empty life. They may not claim they've got empty lives, but if you have to be drunk to have fun, if you have to have a buzz on or whatever to have fun, then what you're saying is that I'm afraid that there's nothing in me that can allow me to live my life in a positive, actually fun-filled way. And that's just an admission that you know, somebody either doesn't understand what it means to be saved or they're just not saved at all and need the Holy Spirit living in them.
Yes, yeah. Indeed. Because being a Christian can actually be just tons of fun.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, to me, it's the most exciting adventure that we could ever embark on. Knowing Jesus personally, there's joy there that transcends every other positive feeling the world can give to us. So in Christ, we can experience joy. Drinking, you just experience a buzz.
Yeah.
And that can go away and turn into a headache the next day and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But in Christ, joy can last. Joy can endure. And that's what God has called us to. And we can't experience that joy unless we're being controlled by the Spirit of God, being filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
So as far as being a believer, and if you have had that problem, you've been set free, you've recognized this new life that you have in Christ, you certainly want to go in and influence those old friends. But just be warned, don't go to their turf.
Yeah.
Because that temptation will be too much for you. You might be able to withstand for a short period of time, but you stay there for very long, you're just going to go back to that way of life. So if you want to be a help to those people, invite them to your new turf. ask them to join you at a Bible study or a Sunday school class or attend a worship service or to meet at a restaurant just for lunch that doesn't serve alcohol and develop a relationship around something other than booze.
Absolutely.
And that's the way to influence. Yeah.
Well, Cynthia, hope you're listening. Hope that's been a help to you. And, friends, if you have a question, can't get to the phone during the time we're actually on the air live, why, drop us an email. Go to basicgospel.net and write that email. We'll be glad to address it on a later edition. Right now, plenty of open lines, plenty of time, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go out to El Paso, Texas, and talk to Efren listening to us on KELP. Hi, Efren.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm a born again Christian. I'm 48 years old. I've been a Christian since I was 12. I've been playing in the worship team at church. I play drums. I've been exposed to chemicals, I guess, over the last 25 years, and I've gotten some health issues that are very excruciating pain, chronic fatigue, and I have been praying for many years. And I don't know why. I know that the Lord has forgiven me for my sins, but as far as this issue with my illness, I'm still struggling with it. I don't know what to do anymore. I've already, filled out the disability because I'm having troubles working, walking. I want to support my family, and I'm confused because I have been praying about this for so long, and I don't know. I guess I'm in the same situation. I feel like my prayers are not being answered. I do believe that God has given me this pest control business. I've always believed it, me and my family, my wife. But then I turn around and I get exposed to all these toxins, and now I've got all these illnesses. And so I'm confused on that part, too.
Okay.
I'm very grateful for what I have, but I'm just extremely went through a rough time in my life.
Well, it sure sounds like it, and sure sorry that you're going through that. First of all, what I'd say to you, Efren, is that your health issues, aren't there because of some sin in your life. You've laid it out. You've been in a pest control business. You've been exposed to chemicals, and apparently, just based on your conversation, that's what you've pinpointed as the cause for what you're going through now. Is that right?
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. So as far as God is concerned, your sins are forgiven. I mean, Jesus shed his blood one time for all of your sins. He took your punishment because you were in Christ. You are a forgiven person.
Yes, I have no doubt on my salvation. I know my sins are forgiven. My question was more or less why I'm not being healed. I wanted to support my family. I wanted to continue worship on the worship team at church, and I can't do these things now because of my pain.
So
I'm going through the process of not being healed for 3 years. I've been praying for this.
Well, Efren, have you gone the medical route and asked?
Oh yeah, okay, I've gone to so many doctors. And they basically can't. They pretty much given up on me. The chlorpyrifos poisoning is it's a horrible way to go. But I just it basically ruined your nerves, and so I'm just at the point where I'm at the mercy of God's grace to heal me, because I can't seem to just have to keep taking pain medication after pain medication. It's just,
well, here's what I want you to do, Efren, for today. You look and think, this prayer has gone unanswered, and that gets disappointing. You start to wonder, is God really interested? Does God really care? Does God even know what's actually going on in my life?
And, that's where I'm at right now.
Okay.
That's
where I'm at. With that, you start doubting that he loves you. Well, let's kind of come back and realize that he loves you, and there's absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. And what you need to do is to put this health issue on the back burner. in just this sense, and recognizing that this health issue has absolutely nothing to do with whether God loves you or he doesn't love you. He loves you. He's made that declaration. He's made it very clear to you through Christ's work on the cross, Christ's work to take away your sins, Christ's work to declare you righteous in his sight, Christ's work to present you holy and blameless in God's sight. So this health issue does not change any of that. As Paul wrote, absolutely nothing can separate you from the love of God. So I want you to today to say, God, thank you that you love me. Even though I feel like my prayers have gone unanswered, even though I'm still wrestling with this health issue, I am going to embrace the truth that your love is right there for me right now. Nothing can separate me from it. And I'm going to receive that and rest in the fact that I am totally loved by you.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Yes, it does. Just to know that I'm just going to pray that I know you love me, Lord, even though my prayers are not answered. And I know that you're taking care of me.
And that was the next.
Pretty much what you're saying, right?
Yeah. And the next thing is to look at what you have today. You're in a home, you have food, your needs are being taken care of, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we need to thank the Lord for the fact that he continues to provide and meet the needs that are right there.
Okay.
So what I want you to do is try to keep your mind in the present. It's real easy to project out into the future and say, you know, if this persists, we're going to be on the street, homeless, without, living in a box under a bridge, something like that. That's just how our minds operate. And that generates all kinds of anxious feelings, fearful thoughts that make us judge God differently than what we should. And the way we should is to judge him based on what Christ did. And when we see him through the eyes of Christ, we will know that he truly loves us and that he does care for us. So I want you to try to keep your mind on the here and now, today. Lord, thank you that today you love me. Thank you that today you're meeting my needs.
Okay. I sure will. I'll do that.
Okay. Well, Efren, we want to journey with you through this. I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to send you a copy of this book, The Hurt and the Healer. I think it will be a good resource for you. And then we'll see if we can put you in contact with some folks in El Paso that might be of help to you, okay?
Oh, okay, great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Efren, thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed. And Bob and Richard, for any of our listeners who have yet to take advantage of the opportunity to pick up a copy of The Hurt and the Healer, it's yours for a gift of any amount for a few more days right now. Go online to basicgospel.net. You'll find a prominent link at the front page there on the homepage. And for a gift of any amount, we'll get a copy on the way to you. Basicgospel.net for your copy of The Hurt and the Healer.
Thanks, Bob. Let's go out to Tempe, Arizona, and talk to Mike listening to us on KXXT. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Bob. I just wanted to ask you something on can God's Spirit, if you keep fearing the Holy Spirit all the time and you're doing the same sins over and over again, can God make you? Can he? I know you can hurt God and all that stuff. You know, I know all our sins were put on the cross when he died. You know, when he was crucified, but the thing is, I feel like I'm really been. I feel like I've really been condemned. I really feel like I'm really been under a lot of condemnation because I know, you know. The question is, what I'm asking is, how do you become led by the Holy Spirit? Because sometimes my flesh gets in the way a lot of times, and I can't get controlled by certain lusts. Lustful things that come into my mind, and
Mike, it's a great question, and let me start off with this. If you're in Christ, the Holy Spirit has come to live in you with the promise that he would never leave you nor forsake you. So he's right there with you, going mm-hmm. through everything that you're going through. The second thing is oftentimes when these fleshly desires creep in and intensify, we try to focus on eliminating the desire. So we say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that sin. I'm not going to give in to it. And so we become focused on the sin. And when we become focused on the sin, we become weak, and we eventually give in to that sin. That's just how our flesh operates. So the Bible never tells us to clean up the flesh. The Bible never tells us to get rid of the desires of the flesh. The Bible simply says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So the not gratifying is a byproduct, a fruit of walking in the Spirit. Does that make sense? So your prayer, instead of waking up, Lord, help me not do X sin, should be, Lord, teach me how to walk by faith. Teach me how to live out the desires of the Spirit. Because if you're in Christ, you have the desires of the Spirit living in you. You have the Spirit living in you. And because you have the Spirit living in you, he will teach you how to say no to sin and no to unrighteousness, and he will teach you how to live by faith, and in so doing, live a godly, righteous life. So wake up each day, Mike, with that prayer on your lips. Lord, teach me how to trust you. Teach me how to walk in your Spirit today.
Yeah, I just was wondering, because I know I hear the Holy Spirit many times, and I say that same stuff, but then my flesh rise up above me, and I get caught up in things, and you know, especially in the world, when you're in the world and working in the world, I got all kinds of stuff that it's hard to sometimes stay focused on God.
Well, that's exactly right, Mike, and that's one reason we need each other. That's one reason we need to assemble ourselves together with other believers, so we can encourage one another, because we need encouragement. Why? Because life in this world is tough. It's filled with temptations. It's filled with trials. It's filled with tribulations. And it's easy to get distracted. And our minds need to be refocused on Jesus. That's why the writer of Hebrews said, keep your eyes on Christ, the author and perfecter of your faith. So often we get our eyes on the flesh. We get our eyes on the sin. We get our eyes on all of that stuff. And when we do, we start getting confused, and we find ourselves giving in to those desires. So, Mike, refocus, put your eyes on Christ, recognize that your sins have already been forgiven, recognize that God will never leave you nor forsake you, that you are totally loved. And if you will thank God for that truth and rest in that truth, you will see those desires start to diminish or lose some hold, and that's good news.
Well, praise God. Yeah, thank you for that encouragement, Bob.
You're welcome,
Mike.
You hang on. We'll send you some things that will help you, okay? You hang on.
Well, the good news keeps on coming, because people whose lives have been touched by the basic gospel message care enough to support it, and that includes many of you who are listening right now. People we've spoken with by phone recently have said they count it a tremendous privilege to stand with us, to keep the basic gospel coming by radio and online every day, so that others also can hear. This month, we've been saying thank you for your gift in any amount by sending you a copy of the Bart Millard, Andrew Farley book, The Hurt and the Healer. And many of you have made generous gifts to Basic Gospel and have received a copy of the book. But at the end of this week, that offer goes away. So to make your gift and take advantage of it right now and request your copy, why, go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can call 1-800-727-2828 during Central Time office hours. Again, that number, 1-800-727-2828. The Hurt and the Healer. Yours for only a few more days for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. And when you go online, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. We'd like you to join our email list. Just click subscribe in the upper menu at basicgospel.net. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry staff, Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel.